The Cure with Amy Cabo. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. We're live every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern. I'm also joined by Dr. Boris Nikolov, who is my partner at work and in life.
Hello.
This show deals with suffering and the tenacity of the human spirit, the will to survive, and the courage to keep moving forward, despite any obstacle, with the help of God and each other. We do provide testimonials to let people know that they're not alone. And in this show, the testimonial started with me, having been a survivor from childhood trauma well into young adulthood. We also have professionals in the medical field and inspirational speakers that are willing to help and give valuable information, because education is key and transparency is needed. And also, I believe we can help each other. For me, my healing came from God, but there are other forms of healing that we present as well to service everyone. Suffering comes in many forms, from physical to mental, even both. Some of us have suffered, and some of us still suffer. But what do you do if you have chronic pain? Do you still feel God's healing touch? And so today, we have a special guest, Monica Rentz. Monica is a strong lady living with syringomyelia. Am I saying that right? Syringomyelia?
Yes.
A very painful disease. I've never heard of it since 2011. I believe it's a rare spinal cord disease involving the nerves. Despite the pain, she decided to return to her love of writing fiction and poetry, and even published several poems since the chronic illness that has stopped her from working. I love something she said. I don't feel helpless. I have many abilities, a dream with passion, along with the determination to make my lifelong dream a reality. Monica is the founder of MyChronicHappiness.com. Monica, welcome to the show. Can you tell us a little bit about what is it that you go through? What are your daily struggles with your chronic illness?
Well, thank you for having me, Amy. I'm thrilled to be here. You know, every day is different. There's never a way to kind of like forecast what each day is going to bring. Some days I wake up, I can barely walk. Moving is very difficult after laying in bed all night. The paralysis is still there in hints. So there are certain things that are difficult. You know, I move slower and, you know, everything's kind of curled up. So there are days where, you know, I'm a very determined person and I enjoy being productive. And some days being productive is getting dressed, you know, just brushing my teeth and my face, you know, just doing the normal morning routine. And then I may need an hour or two to just relax, because my body has already used up so much energy just doing those things. I try to spend most of my time in my office writing. That's a good distraction for me.
You know, the simple things that all of us take for granted. And for someone like you, it's incredible that you can still find happiness despite your chronic illness and despite constantly going through pain. It's amazing, and that you've channeled it to help others. I don't know much about the condition, but I know that it's very debilitating from the little bit that I've read, and it keeps you from even working. What was it that brought you to the place where you felt that you can find happiness despite never being able to escape your pain?
Well, I went through a really dark time with that. I've had 10 surgeries since 2011, and I'm needing another, but I need another fusion in my neck. I have two dislocated discs in my neck, one on each end of a four-disc fusion, and I'm putting it off until I can no longer handle the headaches and the pain. For a long time, I was really angry. I was angry with God. You know, how can you allow somebody to suffer? Just, you know, I was diagnosed 3 weeks after I married my husband, and I was told I had a year to live and that I would not survive surgery.
I'm so sorry.
So anger and frustration and fear. I had a 14-year-old son whom I'd been a single mother to his whole life. I really felt like I had just lost everything. I was only 34 years old. And so for a long time, I was angry. But my husband, wow, like, he is that person that just stood next to me. He bathed me when I couldn't bathe. He cut my food. He showered for me, washed my hair. He would shave my legs.
Nice.
He did everything for me. He would help me get dressed. He would put shoes on me because I didn't have the ability to do that. And then it was just, I don't know, I spent 2 weeks in a rehab hospital in 2016. And I found myself pushing to get out of that wheelchair. Like, I just was not ready to spend my life in a wheelchair. So that's kind of, I think, where I really started to push myself. Like, I'm going to get out of this wheelchair. I'm going to walk again. I will be able to feed myself again. These things are going to happen. And they did. And I don't have sensation, but I have function. So my limbs don't have much sensation. I keep my eyes on what I'm doing, and I'm able to do pretty much whatever I want. And that gives me hope that there's a reason all of that came back to me. And that's why I get up and do what I'm doing every day.
It's amazing that you're able to compensate despite your disability. That really is an amazing thing. And since you were diagnosed in 2011, it's been more than a year. That just shows miracles do happen. And
yes,
if you have the will to survive, a spirit to not give up, if you have someone that you love even more than you love yourself unconditionally, that alone can be a driving force.
Mm-hmm. My parents have been wonderful, and my husband, the kids have helped. And that puts a lot of guilt on you because I felt like I was a burden. I felt worthless when I was in the wheelchair. Like, all I can do is sit here and watch my family run the household. I had run, and so, you know, their willingness to help and their, you know, they brought me things. My mom would bring me gifts of just little things that would help me do the small things people don't think about needing help with, you know, even putting on socks. I mean, there was just, I couldn't do those things. So
yeah, it kind of puts things into perspective for those of us that think our life is bad. I mean, really, I don't know how you do it. You're amazing.
Oh, thank you.
You're such an inspiration.
You know, if you look at me now,
you
wouldn't know there was anything wrong. I appreciate that. Oh, I really do.
The best of us don't show it. What can I say? God is kind.
He is. He really is. I have overcome my anger with him, and I think it could be understood why I was so angry. But, you know, things are good now. You know, I have a wonderful husband, and my son moved out in December, you know, ready to start his adult life, and that was difficult. You know, and I have three stepdaughters, and but things are good. I try not to dwell on all of that because I know I can be back there tomorrow. I know that tomorrow I could wake up and I won't be able to use my leg. I know these things can happen.
That must be
so
very
every day.
Scary. That must be very difficult for you. But I believe I understand. I mean, God put your husband into your life, and God mm-hmm. made it so that you can live all these years that you have and that you're able to function. God made that yes. possible. And I've been through many things. I've survived a few things, and from sexual abuse to physical abuse to emotional abuse to rapes to domestic violence to 14 years custody battles to miscarriages, like six of them. And I've been through a lot of things, but I couldn't blame God. He's the only thing I had. I always blamed the devil. And I think that's what kept me going. Because why blame the good guy? Blame the bad guy, right? But anyhow.
Yeah.
For those that are just tuning in, I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure.
We will be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
I will be the best of me. Always
and now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Welcome back to the show. For those that are just tuning in, I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. If this is your first time tuning in, we're talking about how to overcome chronic pain. We are joined by a special guest, Monica Renz. And I see that we have another call coming in, and I will get that in a minute. Monica, can I ask you, I want to share with our listeners your talent. Do you have handy the poem that you wrote, Darkened Love? Because I do.
You do.
Can I share it?
Yes, please. Yes, that would be great. Thank you.
Darkened Love. Strolling along damp, dark streets of brick, seeking freedom off his captive curse. Her steely gray eyes, moistened with tears, shone beneath dimly lit streets, blind to the destination. She was given no choice. Rain forced abandonment upon the streets, isolating her journey, watchful of every step, the immense gas-lit clock face, but its familiar grinding cogs, metal-on-metal machinery, at one time their safe coven, the pulse of each tick and talk, in sync with every breath, soothing the ache he laid within her heart. His death placed shadows in her soul, covering her wings in darkness, now too heavy to fly. That's beautiful, Monica.
Thank you. That is
amazing. I mean, I know that those words come from the soul. I'm going to go ahead and answer the other call. I believe it's Kelly calling from Utah. Hello, Kelly. You're on air. You're on The Cure.
Hi, Amy. Thank you for having me.
We were talking with Monica. She has a very, very difficult situation where she has a condition that she has to deal with every day. What is it that you want to share with us?
I have some type of neurological issue also, but with my hands, and it's called erythromyalgia. It basically makes my hands red and swell and burn and burn and burn. And it just started this past January of last year, and it came out of nowhere, feeling like it was on fire, and even water made it worse. So the only remedy was to stick my hands in ice, and nothing else would help it. But you can't live sticking your hands on ice continuously. So at first I thought it was an allergic reaction, but to make a long story short, a neurologist told me it was a circulatory signal that I was missing, and by not having enough circulation going to my periphery, that was causing that, erythromyalgia in my hands. But luckily, the way I looked at it was, it usually is both hands and feet. So I was spared the feet. So that was the first thing I was thankful for. And basically, now that it's been a year, I just have accepted it with a happy heart, because God, I know, has given me this as my own personal burden. So I can just be spared, and that is my true belief, of something worse. Because maybe what you have is worse than me, Monica. And I am just dealing, and because it's been over a year now, I've learned to accept the pain. Yes, I'll take some ibuprofen, and yes, I'm on a different medication. And once in a while, I have to stick my hands in ice because I can't take it. But I have to accept it. And I do with a happy heart because I know I'm being spared from other worse trials and tribulations.
That's amazing. And I know that Monica mentioned God. Monica, I wanted to ask you, I knew that at one point you were angry with God, and I get that. I know people that are angry with Him. I even had my own issues being angry with the Catholic religion. So, but tell us, what was your quality of life when you didn't have the comfort of God, when you were angry with God, compared to when you realized it wasn't God's fault and that He was there for you?
My quality of life was not a happy one. I was frustrated all the time. Everything made me angry. I was scared all the time. You know, the negative thoughts were there, and I'm generally a very positive person. I like to look on the bright side, and like the caller, I've accepted my pain. I have fibromyalgia too. I actually have 10 diseases I've been diagnosed with, and so I get the nerve pain, and sometimes taking a shower is extremely painful on my skin. Wind can hurt. And I take some very strong medication, but I've accepted. Once I found that I could accept what was happening and I could keep my pain level at a certain level where I can function, I still hurt, but I function, and my life is happier. I'm back to the positive thoughts. You know, everybody has a bad day, but more often than not, just finding that acceptance. This is what I've been given. There's no cure. There's no treatment. They don't know what to do with the disease. They only treat the symptoms. So you just have to find acceptance.
Well, the thing is, you have those 10 medical conditions, but having those things can also make you depressed. That's where the getting angry mm-hmm. outbursts, and feeling on edge, and feeling irritable, and feeling like you're no one, and feeling like you don't want to get out of bed, and feeling like you don't care about anything. And I mm-hmm. understand. I have been there. That's my chronic illness, depression.
Yes. I've been through that, and it is hard. Depression is no joke. That is a serious and debilitating illness. I mean, it really is, and it has to be treated. I am not ashamed to say that I do take medication for depression.
Oh, so do I.
It just, you know, it's just, I'm not ashamed of it. I take it, and it helps me be where I want to be.
But it's great that you're taking care of yourself. And Kelly.
You too.
And Kelly, tell me, how are you able to get through your illnesses? Because I can think that you deal with depression as well. And what was your remedy?
I haven't been unfortunate enough to deal with depression. However, I have learned to accept, and it is, like Monica said, the key to a functional, productive, happy life is acceptance. And I do accept it. And although I do not take heavy medication because I refuse to feel loopy, I'd rather take some of the pain instead of being loopy. I definitely understand where Monica is coming from, because I deal with it because I must. Because I have come to realize that truly, God will not give me what I can't handle. So, darn it, I can handle it. And I have to learn.
That's what I want to talk about next. That God doesn't give us anything you can't handle. Thank you, Kelly, for the idea. Mm-hmm. But for anyone that's tuning in, this is Amy Cabell. You're listening to The Cure. And to our listeners, feel free to call in. Tell us your story. Talk to us. We'd love to hear from you. So when we come back, we are going to discuss, does God really doesn't give us anything we can't handle? Is it really we're faced with stuff that we cannot handle? We need God. Okay. God will help us through.
We'll be right back with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals Amy Cabo's life. A warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on GodIsTheCure.com or buying her book on Amazon.com.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Hi, we're back. Thanks for joining us. I'm Amy Cabell, and this is The Cure. I see that we have Fonda from Raleigh calling in, and today we're talking about any form of suffering and ways to deal with it, to live with it, to heal from it. Hello, Monica. You're on The Cure. Thank you for calling.
Hello. Hi. Well, I'm a mental health advocate. I volunteer with NAMI, the National Alliance for Mental Illness. I actually sit on the state board of NAMI, North Carolina. I am a QPR suicide prevention instructor, and I'm also a mental health first aid instructor for youth. But more importantly, I have depression, anxiety, and because of my depression 24 years ago, I almost died by suicide. So I've made it my mission to get out here and educate people and help people to realize a mental health condition can affect any and everyone, and it's no shame in having a mental health condition.
And there's no shame in admitting that you need help or that you're receiving help, because I think it's great that we're taking care of each of ourselves and we're able to come to terms with it. You can only work on something if you accept it, if you admit it, if you come to terms with it. And, I mean, it's amazing, Fonda, that you, despite the fact that you go through this, you help others. And I don't believe there's anybody better that can help others than someone who's going through it themselves. And we're speaking to Monica, who has 10 different medical conditions. And it's really, really sad because I work in the medical field and I have to do medical histories. And I see myself typing pages and pages of medical conditions. And I don't even know how these people walk into the office with a smile on their face, with a good attitude. I mean, I think that's amazing of the human spirit that they can go through so much. And they're going through so much because, okay, we can suffer from mental illness, but hey, I have nothing physically wrong with me. Well, I have a little bit of arthritis, but that's not a big deal. But there's people that have it really tough, like Kelly and Monica. They deal with pain every day. But the only better way, you can't do anything about the physical pain. You can't do anything about your condition, but you can try to help your mental state of mind. You can try to get a better perspective. Try to live a happy life. Try to feel better. And for me, I had to have God in my life. I not only had to pray, but I had to have faith. I had to have faith that He loved me. I had to have faith that He would provide for me. I had to change my attitude to a positive attitude. And I had to always try to do the right thing and always try to do good deeds. Fonda.
And I agree with that 100%, but also faith without works did. So people will, if somebody says to you, if you had cancer, and they said, I'm going to pray for you, but you need to go get help. We need to do that same thing with a mental health condition because we can get better. And the thing is, too, there's help out here. So many people think when they're going through something, especially a mental health condition, that they're by themselves. And we have wonderful organizations like NAMI, Mental Health America, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. There is help out here. You can call the National Suicide Hotline. But at the end of the day, a mental health condition is no different than that for cancer or heart. And when your brain is sick, you have to go get help because it can kill you. And that's one thing I always urge to do. You can have the spiritual side. You can have all of that. But at the end of the day, you still have to go get help for a mental health condition.
Right. I know that depression can kill you. It's very difficult. And people say that God does not give us anything we cannot handle. And I questioned this once. And I said, if God doesn't give us anything we cannot handle, why is there suicide? Why is there depression? okay? So they said it was very simple. God does not give us anything we cannot handle as long as we have him in our lives. When we don't have him in our lives, we leave ourselves open to depression. We leave ourselves open to maybe hurting ourselves. But when you have God in your lives, you're better able to get through with it. And I understand that mental illness is just as bad as physical illness. You can't really say somebody's suffering more than somebody else. It doesn't matter what they have. It's the person can be suffering a lot even though they have something small. And someone like Monica Rentz can suffer very little. What is the secret?
Yes, but I will tell you, and not to cut you off, but 90% of people who die by suicide have a mental health condition. And stigma is the number one reason why they don't get help. So you can be a very religious person. We have pastors dying by suicide. So you can't sit up and say, because you don't have God in your life, you're opening yourself up. Because 90% of people who die by suicide have a mental health condition, most of the time an untreated mental health condition. And stigma, the shame that comes along when people sit up and say, like in my culture, the African-American culture, we're quick to call people crazy. We're quick to call people nuts. We're quick to call people psycho. Those words hurt, and it keeps people from getting help. So one thing I always tell people, you need to get educated. Education is the key, because yes. I have a physical condition. So it's the difference between feeling bad if you lost somebody you love, lost your job. But there are people out here who have a physical condition, like bipolar, schizophrenia, and that is something we cannot help. So it's the difference between feeling sad and having major depression.
And that's why I have this show, to show people that stigma is wrong. And I have a friend that has bipolar. I know that these things are very difficult. And it's wonderful that there's people like you, Fonda, that are able to help. And that there's so many resources. I remember there was a time that I was suicidal, that I tried to kill myself. And it's not that I didn't believe in God. It's not that I didn't have God in my life. I didn't believe God loved me enough. I believed that I was meant to suffer. I believed that there was no reason for my life.
We do need to all work together, because we have an epidemic in this country. And only until we start treating a mental health condition, just like we do diabetes and heart problems, these things are going to persist. Because the thing is, we can recover and we can have a good life, but you don't see that. So again, the faith-based community, the professional community, the education community, we all need to work together, because there's too many people out here suffering in silence. It's too many.
Monica, were you able to reach out to any support programs or anything that was able to help you, like the things that Fonda is mentioning?
Well, I reached out a little differently. I went to my primary care doctor, and for me, my mood was very deep and changed. I didn't feel suicidal, but I still felt completely worthless. I didn't feel, it's like I needed to have a purpose, and I didn't know what it was anymore. So I contacted my primary care doctor. And then, like in the very beginning of my diagnosis, I reached out to foundations for syringomyelia, and I actually volunteered for a while. I ran their kids club for ASAP, American Syringomyelia and Chiari Alliance Project. And working with them and seeing, because you can be born with this disease or you can get it through a spinal cord trauma. And they believe mine was probably through a spinal cord trauma in my early 20s. So I had it for probably 14 years before it was diagnosed, which is why my whole spine was pretty well involved. It is now in my brain stem. So, that causes some other issues. But You talk to kids, and you see kids dealing with this. I at least didn't have that pain in my childhood. I can't imagine a child feeling the way I do.
And I still look at the bright side.
Opened my eyes. Yeah, that just opened my eyes. Like,
you must be a stubborn optimistic.
I am. And my husband would probably very much agree with the stubborn part.
And that's what I love. That
and I think that's what gets me up there.
That we're able to provide our listeners with different forms of healing, of being able to get through whatever they're going through or they're suffering. Like Fonda mentioned, there's a lot of support groups and places they can call. You had your method of getting by what you went through. I had my method was taking medication. I really didn't speak in therapy. Trust me, my psychiatrist found out what's happened to me when I wrote my book. But the medicine helped. And that's, you know, that's how I did my therapy. And that's why I like to invite, you know, different people, because I don't know what works for everyone. Everyone's different, and you don't know what might work for everyone. In fact, I don't know where Kelly went. I wanted to ask her what worked for you, for her. Maybe she'll get back. She'll call back. But
it is different for everybody, and that's important to put out there.
But you know what stays the same? What stays the same is that we're there for each other. No matter which way we go, we're there for each other. So to our listeners, tell us your story. Call in 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. This is The Cure.
Right back.
I'm Amy Cabell.
Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
We're back. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Amy Cabell and this is The Cure. We're live every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern. And we have Monica Renz and Fonda from Raleigh. And Fonda, I wanted to thank you so much for being on the line with us, because you made very good points, and I hope that people realize that there is hope out there and there's people who care. And please do stay in touch. Monica, I wanted to ask you, I'm very, very fond of your blog. I think it's amazing. You're a very talented writer. Do you believe your blog is helping others, that they read about your life, and do you believe it's given them hope? And is it therapeutic for you to write these things? Are you helping yourself and others at the same time? Please tell me a little bit about that.
I think it is very therapeutic for me. This is actually my third blog. I started one shortly after my diagnosis, and I talked about the disease. I didn't have anybody to reach out to. There are no specialists, really, you know, in the area. I live in Kansas. The specialist for this disease they're, you know, on the coast, you know, Maryland and New York and California. They're not here in the Midwest. And I didn't know who to reach out to. So I started this blog and I started gathering information. And then I started gathering lists of doctors and people were contacting me. I was just diagnosed and I found your blog. Who do I go to? What do I do? My doctor said this. Is this what you did? What did you do? And so it was a sharing. And then about every 6 months, I was having a major spine surgery. And it became hard to keep up with the blog. So I closed it down. This blog feels more like me. I've combined my passion of writing with books and the disease. I try to help everybody. I get comments from people who've read it who say, thank you for explaining it without so much medical jargon. thank you for being real about it, you know, because I was in the medical field 15 years before I got sick, and I miss my patients, but also, you know, you don't go online to read somebody's experience and then not be able to understand what they're saying. So I do get a lot of compliments on not being too technical and helping them. And, you know, and then it's kind of a relief if they can read about other things and see that they're, my life isn't the disease. Like, that's not who I am. This is over here is who I am, but this is what I have. So it's a good balance.
That's a great attitude. That is such a positive attitude, Monica. It really is. Because I have to tell you, and it could be difficult living with a disease, and not every day is easy. Sometimes we can get up not feeling well. I start my day with prayer. I take things as they come. And it's important to just continue on, mm-hmm. not to give up the fight, yeah. because yeah. we're here for a reason. And I don't understand why some people suffer the things they do, why some of the bad things happen in life. But God did say we would go through tribulations. But be of good yes. cheer, because He has overcome the world. And believe it or not, He's put people in our lives that get us through things, that help us. People like Fonda that called in. Those are people that can help. People like you.
Yes.
And writing it down is so important, because see, here's the beauty. When you write it down, you're not only helping others. Like, when I wrote my memoir, my reviews, people told me that it was helping them. And it was difficult for me, because mm-hmm. I'm a private person. But writing it down not only helps others, but it helps yourself. It helps you yes. to come to terms with it. And also speaking about it. And the beauty about writing it down and speaking about it is that it's bringing it into light. Not only is it bringing it into light to give hope to others, to help others, to know that they're not alone, but also as education, to inform others, to make them aware, yes. whether it's a medical condition or a physical condition or abuse, or just to make them aware. And the more that you are aware about something, and the more that you learn about something, and the more that there's education, the better you can handle it, I believe.
I agree. I could not agree with that more. For me to learn about the disease, I learned from Dr. Google. You know, there was nobody explaining to me what was going to happen to my body. Nobody was going to explain to me that, you know, it was going to affect my muscles and my nerves and my function. And, you know, there's not an organ in the body it can't go to. It is in my bladder. You know, there's just, and everybody suffers with it differently. So if we all share our experiences, and I do belong to some support groups online through Facebook that are
amazing. Oh, I do too.
Amazing.
Facebook has a lot of support groups. It's very nice.
They do, and this one for syringomyelia, you get on there and you can share your stories, you can ask advice. They have lists of doctors. They're connected to NORD, which is the National Organization of Rare Diseases. There's stuff out there. You just got to reach out and find it.
Yes, I have to. You have an amazing story. Are you thinking of writing a novel?
I don't know. I've kind of kicked it around a little bit. I usually release my emotions through poetry. I do have, and I have a Patreon site for my poetry, and I share it there, and sometimes it's very personal, but that's really helpful to me. And then, to get feedback is nice, you know, hey, this touched me, and I enjoyed this, or, you know, I understand where you're coming from. That helps everybody.
Well, feedback is very important.
A book, but it's not about my life. So,
oh, okay.
Maybe at some point. maybe at some
well,
point.
Well, any writing is therapeutic. But feedback is yes. very important, because we have our faith and we know God is there and everything, and we feel His love in different ways. But He's not here physically. What's here physically is us. We're here physically for each other.
And speaking for each other, I want to comment. It's very important, I guess, people to have partners in life, like your husband, Kevin.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad that you have him. And I'm here for Amy.
Well, so I have an amazing husband as well, Monica. We're in this together. We're not alone. God is good.
Yes. And I read your book, and you do have a beautiful love story. So
nice. Thank you.
Yeah, you have a lot to be thankful for in having him. And I know that I have never had a partner in my life that would have done for me what my husband has done. The grateful isn't even a word. It doesn't even come close to the love and respect I have for him. It's
amazing.
Just untouchable.
But that's nice. That's why we can be alone. I mean, it's better if we're not alone.
Well, and this is, I wouldn't even be doing this, as challenging as it is, being that it's new to me, if it wasn't that I wasn't so grateful, if it wasn't that I feel like it's the least I can do in return for the way that God has blessed me. And mm-hmm. if I ever believed I was too bad of a person for God to love me, or if I was destined to suffer, I was so wrong. The devil was deceiving me. God proved his love to me in giving me my husband, my kids, my pets. My four little dogs are the most beautiful dogs you've ever seen. They're so, they sleep with us. They're so nice. They're so lovable. My friends, I wouldn't replace them for anyone. And there's just wonderful things in life. I mean, God was so good to me that I even get therapy from songs. If I hear a song that really hits home mm-hmm. or has to do with what I'm doing, I get so happy. And believe it or not, sometimes I dedicate the songs to God. Sometimes I imagine God is dedicating the song to us. And there's many songs I can tell you about that could be like that. And I believe that God actually influences singers to sing certain songs to help people in today's society with the things that they're dealing with. So believe it or not, whether you know it or not, we're being there for each other more than we know. This is just the way, this is just a platform in which we can do it directly.
Yes, it's always good to have communications like that and trying to talk to each other and show the world that there is hope.
And it's okay. To talk about it. And it's okay to tell your story because you don't know who you might be helping. And I tell you, Monica, you actually helped me. Because that's the way I always thought. How can I be depressed? There's people that have it worse, but it's not that easy until you hear it from somebody. And it really puts things into perspective. I know I have no reason to ever complain ever again.
But, and my thoughts are exactly the same. There are people that have it much worse than I do. And I know that, and I remember that, and I think about them. And then I also, I'm not somebody who compares what I'm going through to what somebody else is going through. Like, your pain is your pain. It's legitimate, and it's bad for you. And then somebody else's is the same, and it's bad for them. And what they're going through is bad. That doesn't make it necessarily worse. That's their situation, and this is my situation. So, you know, I try to keep it separate. You know, if somebody says, oh, I hurt, I know it's not as much as you, but it is hurting. Well, it's true. You do have legitimate concerns, and it doesn't have to hurt more than me to be something to complain about.
That's an excellent point, Monica.
I don't feel your pain, and you don't feel my pain. You know, that's yours.
That's an excellent point, because suffering is suffering any way you put it. It's any way you put it. But we've reached the end of the show. Thank you, Monica, for being with us.
Mm-hmm.
And you're an inspiration. You're the best example of inspiration that anyone can have, really. Thank you, and God bless you. For more information...
Thank you for having me, Amy. You are an inspiration.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you.
You are.
Have a beautiful day. For more information on Monica's work, it can be found on GodIsTheCure.com under guests. This has been a pleasure. Thank you for listening to The Cure. I leave you with today's word by someone who wishes to remain anonymous. What you do today can change all the tomorrows of your life. Do something each day to become a little better than you were yesterday. Small improvements daily lead to enormous differences in results. Be blessed. This is Amy Cabo. You have been listening to The Cure. Farewell, and until next week.